Serrat and Murciano rolling along with you on this gray day. A while back, we heard about George W. Bush having some what was called routine procedure performed, a stent. He got a stent.
He got a couple of stents, I believe.
Was it more than one, really?
I thought so, yeah.
Well, at any rate, everybody was saying no cause for alarm. It was a routine procedure. They found a blocked artery. And now what they're saying is it was potentially life-threatening. So we've called in the doctor on this from North Shore University Health System, Dr. Justin Levesay, a cardiologist up there. Doctor, thanks for joining us. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about this, because what concerns me is how this can happen to a guy who is probably one of the most athletic presidents we've had and very good about keeping in shape, not overweight. And talk about how they found this and why they're now saying it was potentially life-threatening.
Well, it's interesting, because after his initial stent placement in August, there was a lot of speculation in the media that perhaps his procedure was unnecessary and that he'd received this procedure, you know, because he was privileged and an ex-president. And I think the Bush camp actually released this information to kind of prove that it was actually a necessary procedure. He had a CT angiogram, which is a type of CAT scan to look at the coronary arteries, and they found a 95% blockage in an artery in the heart called the left anterior descending, the LAD, which is an extremely important artery in your heart.
Is that the Widowmaker, or is that another one?
The Widowmaker is just in front of the LAD. It's called the left main.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this is a horrible place to have a blockage, and were it to close, there's absolutely no guarantee that you're going to make it out if a lesion like this closes to 100%.
So what I'm thinking about is, how do they detect this in a routine examination? Would it show up if you have an EKG done, or do you have to do something more?
Well, it could show up on a routine EKG. The problem is that oftentimes in a resting state, an EKG is just a snapshot in a second of time. And if you're in a resting state and your heart is getting enough blood because you're not exerting yourself, an EKG may not pick it up. You know, it may very well, it actually turned out that he was having some subtle symptoms, and that ended up leading them to perform additional tests. And probably the best way beyond, if you have risk factors for coronary heart disease, if you're a smoker, an ex-smoker, hypertension, diabetes, that performing tests beyond just a routine EKG is helpful. You know, the most important ones would be a stress test or a CT angiogram like President Bush had.
All right, doctor, I'm going to cut to the chase here. Bob is very worried because he just had an EKG, which is probably the reason you're on today. Because he had an EKG and he's horrified that it wasn't enough testing for him.
Well, so yeah, here's
what should an otherwise healthy person, at least physically, do?
Well, if you don't have any of the risk factors for heart disease, then it's not recommended that you have additional testing, provided you're feeling well and don't have symptoms.
What were some of those subtle symptoms that W had?
You know, it's interesting, because I see it all the time of people who don't even realize they have symptoms from coronary disease, because these symptoms oftentimes set in very slowly and over a long period of time, and people just kind of learn to live with them. And it's only after you've identified it that they kind of say, oh, yeah, I do notice that when I climb a flight of stairs, I've been a little bit more short of breath, or that I've been backing off on my exercise or my walks just because I felt some kind of vague feeling of uncomfortableness, shortness of breath. You know, chest pain, the public is very well educated about chest pain, but lots of people don't have symptoms, or they have very atypical symptoms. You know, burning in a shoulder, back pain, shortness of breath, pain in the jaw or teeth.
Oh, no. Wait, what kind of back pain? Because now Bob
not
is
lower
feeling...
back pain.
Okay, oh, okay. Not
he's
lower.
He's feeling for his back right now. No, but you can't see him, but he's feeling for his back because his back has been bothering
but
him
that's,
for
that's
the last 2 days.
All right, lower back pain is not connected to this. Is that right,
lower
doctor?
Lower back pain shouldn't be. I think most people have lower back pain at some time or another, and thank goodness it's not cardiac.
It's a little hard to live with Bob because he takes all
yeah, by the way, heart. What did you mean a minute ago, Marianne, when you said Bob is otherwise healthy physically? What does that mean?
Because you're a hypochondriac.
Oh, okay.
All right. So President Bush is only one of a long list of presidents that's had to fight heart disease. Bill Clinton, George Bush, obviously, Gerald Ford, Lyndon B. Johnson, Dwight Eisenhower, Harry Truman, Franklin D. Roosevelt. They've all had issues with heart disease. Is it about being a president?
Well, that might be part of it. There are lots of things that cause heart disease, and certainly being president of the United States is an incredibly stressful job. If you look at these guys when they go in, and then 4 or 8 years later, you can visibly see how they've aged because of all the pressure and stress that they're underneath. And stress is an absolute contributor to coronary heart disease. But there are lots of other things. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt had high blood pressure, as did Harry Truman. So there are lots of reasons that cause coronary disease. Obviously, smoking, diabetes, high cholesterol, all these things contribute. But I like to tell people, that there is no immunity from heart disease. Even if you don't have traditional risk factors, if you exercise on a regular basis, it lessens your chance of having heart disease tremendously, and it's the best thing you can do for yourself, but it doesn't provide immunity. I've seen plenty of marathon runners and otherwise healthy people that I look at and say, geez, this guy's in better shape than I am. It's unbelievable that they have coronary heart disease, but it does happen.
All right, here's what a lot of people are thinking about now. This is what I'm thinking about. This is why, Doctor, you're on the program this afternoon. What if you, like a lot of people, were unhealthy when you were younger? You go through those college years where you're eating the pizza and french fries, and you're not. And then you get out of school, you start the first job, and you're not exercising. But later in life, you get smart about it, you learn more about it. There's more in the news about all this now, and you get pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The damage done in those younger years, can it be reversed?
It's not reversible per se. You can certainly stop it in its tracks. You know, there were studies done of GIs killed in Vietnam who were 18, 19 years old, and they had the beginning of blockages in their coronary arteries already. So this is a process that starts when you're young and continues to progress as you get older. The good news is that you can absolutely, even if you form blockages from an unhealthy lifestyle, you can stop it in its tracks. And for a large percentage of people, it doesn't need to progress to the point that you end up, having chest pain or a heart attack or need medical attention. And we really have amazing drugs now in terms of preventative cardiology that can stop this from becoming a clinically significant issue.
I think I feel better now, and I'm just wondering whether I have any other symptoms, subtle symptoms that doctor was talking about. But I think I'm okay. The problem is you start thinking about these symptoms, and some of us get them. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see it all the time. I think that we're kind of designed to take our hearts for granted, but once you start worrying about your heart, every little twinge and prickle that you feel, assumes great importance, and it's a dangerous kind of headspace to be in. But
right. Yeah.
By the same token, you can't neglect it, and if you're having symptoms, you absolutely need to see a medical profession. And I see that all the time too, and it's usually men who are dragged in by the scruff of their neck by their wives or daughters and made to get medical attention, and it's life-saving.
And when you do go to a heart doctor or you go to your regular doctor and they say, EKG, do you demand more? Bob still does not have his answer. I know this is going to bother him all day, so I need to get this cleared up now, please.
Bob, I'm sure you have excellent doctors, and if they're not recommending that you have any additional testing, then I'm sure that's the appropriate thing to do. Because it's tests sometimes give false positives, and then it begets more testing and procedures. So, there needs to be some reasonable degree of suspicion before you start to proceed with further tests.
They are all referring me to a good psychiatrist, though. Dr. Justin Levesay, cardiologist at North Shore University Health System. Appreciate the time, doctor, and as always, the information and the way you give it to us in a way that's understandable and almost fun to hear. Appreciate it.
Great.
Thank
always
so
glad
much.
To do it.